Good morning, church. How's it going? Good, good. My name is Dave, and welcome to church. Hi. So good, so good. Hey, I'm speaking this morning on our theme, Created for King and Community, which has been all about the way that we are shaped by different things and different things that happen to us and given gifts and abilities, not just for our own gain, but for God and for others. And I hope that these talks have been helpful. If you are wanting to dig more into that topic or discover some more stuff or maybe figure out what the next steps for you is, we have a lot of resources on our website that you can check out. If you go on the homepage of the website, there's a tab that says Next Steps. And if you click on that, there's resources. There's spiritual gifts tests. Maybe find out what your spiritual gifts are if you haven't gone down and checked that out before. Some discipleship tools, things to help you figure out what's the next step maybe for you and how can you start to put some of this stuff into practice. And if anything comes out of that or anything comes out of those talks that you would like to talk more about or ask questions about, then we'd love for you to reach out. Come have a conversation, send us an email, call the church office, but come and talk to us because the whole point of this theme is to generate conversation and discussion around what are our spiritual gifts, what are our abilities, what are our passions, how has God made us all unique, and how can we use our uniqueness to serve Him and to serve community? So we'd love to hear from you, and that goes for you as well, youth. They're watching us over in the youth room, but we want to hear from you guys too. It's good. Hey, today I'm closing out our theme. And we're talking about the way that we are shaped by our experiences, how our experiences can position us to serve God and to serve community. So before I get into that, let's just pray and invite God to speak to us. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you that you are here in this room. And I pray that you would just speak through me this morning. I pray that we would all hear a word from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, because I am the children and families pastor here at Carey, I am going to be opening with a story about a man named Mr. Bump. Give me a wave if you've ever read a Mr. Men book. Wow. This is the most response I've ever had from any question I've asked this congregation ever, and I love that. When I was a little kid, I loved the Mr. Men series. I collected them. I had so many of them, and I've just introduced my son to Mr. Men, and his favorite is Mr. Bounce, which is very fitting if you've met him. But Mr. Bump is a current favorite of ours, and it's weirdly relevant to this theme of Created for King and Community. So a quick recap of the story, if you've never read it or heard about it before. Mr. Bump is, there he is. I just realized that I'm kind of channeling a little bit of Mr. Bump energy when I picked this t-shirt this morning. That's fine. We'll go with that. So Mr. Bump is absurdly accident prone. Now I'm nervous about this stage, but it's fine. His whole thing is that he keeps bumping into stuff, and he gets fired from every job he's ever had because he can't help but break everything that he touches. And in the story, he goes on holiday, which is also a bit of a disaster. He falls off a boat. He gets his foot stuck in a bucket, and then he falls into a hole that someone dug in the beach, and he can't climb out again. I think I got a picture of that one, this very sad little image of Mr. Bump, and his little hand just poking up there. However, there's a happy ending to this story. See, Mr. Bump, at the end, he goes back home, and he gets a job working at an apple orchard. And see, he doesn't have to waste time climbing trees or climbing ladders to get apples down. He just gets paid to wander around the orchard, bumping into trees and catching the apples, and everybody wins, except for the head injuries. But it's a kid's book. Try not to think too deeply about it. The point is, I want to ask you, have you ever felt like Mr. Bump? Have you ever looked at yourself and recognize something in you, maybe a skill or an ability, maybe just a tendency or a habit, but you've looked and you see something in you that feels very, very you, but at the same time you're looking at it going, I have no idea how this could possibly be useful. That was how it was for me when it came to this concept of spiritual gifts and the things that God had put in me. for a long time, I had no idea how it would come together and what how it could be useful. See, when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, a parent told me, Dave, your spiritual gift is working with children. And I was like, oh, I was very confused by that. I didn't really know what to do with it. Now, you might be thinking, well, Dave's the kids pastor. I don't know why he's confused. I see a very natural progression from point A to point B. But I was. It was confusing because at the time, a couple of reasons. At the time, first of all, I wasn't on track to become a kids pastor. I was in university. I was studying medicine. I was on track to become a doctor, going in a very different direction, doing a different thing. I was also very confused because working with children didn't appear on any of the lists in the Bible. Right, of spiritual gifts that I'd been learning about or reading about. Let me give you a couple of these. We've been talking about them over these last weeks, but Romans 12 talks about prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leadership, and mercy. 1 Corinthians 12, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, discernment, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. Ephesians 4 talks about apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, but none of them say working with children. So I was like, I don't know what to do with this information. Now, as Liz mentioned a couple of weeks ago, none of those lists are the same as each other, which means that they aren't meant to be exhaustive lists, right? They're not meant to tell us, this is the limit of what the Holy Spirit can empower you to do. Of course, the Holy Spirit can empower us to do all kinds of things, all kinds of other things that weren't necessarily relevant to that immediate context that was being written to. But I didn't really have my head around that idea at the time. It wasn't until a couple of years later when I had a particular experience where God brought everything together and when God brought clarity to me. Let me tell you what happened. I was working as a creche worker for a church during their women's ministry events. And this particular event was during the school holidays. So it was the first time that we had primary school age kids with us to take care of as well. And we were not prepared for that. And so at a certain point in the afternoon, the preschool coordinator came to me and said, Dave, could you take some of these older kids out to a different room? They're getting really rowdy and really bored. Someone's going to get hurt. Could you take them to a different room and run some games with them? And I thought, that seems reasonable. Let's do that. So I and one of the other workers, we took some of these older kids out. And what I didn't count on was all their preschool and toddler younger siblings following us. And before I knew it, there's two of us in this big empty room with about 20 kids, probably aged 3 to 10, with no equipment and no plan. At one point, I tried to get some gear out of the storeroom, and this is what happened. And I love that this photo exists because it means that the other person I was working with saw this happening and decided not to help me. Take a photo. I would have done the same thing. But we made it work, right? Somehow we made it work. Somehow we got some gear out of that storeroom without losing any of the kids in there. We got some age-appropriate activities happening in different sections of the room and mobilized some of the older kids to help us. And we pulled it off. And we came out of this room at the end of the day. And I was thinking, wow, we survived it. I don't know if the kids had any fun, but we got through it and no one died. That's a win. And I'm walking back to the room where the kids are going to get picked up. And this little girl, she's probably about 7, just puts her hand in my hand and starts walking with me down the hallway. And then we get to the room and she gave me a hug and went into the room, said bye, went inside. And I was just hit by this overwhelming clarity, this overwhelming realization. It was as though God was saying, this is what you're here for. This is what I've made you for, right? That was not something that just anybody could have done, but God empowered us to pull that off and to do it. And what I realized was some of those kids, I'd never seen them before. That was their first time visiting that church in any capacity, but they had a great experience of being in God's house because God empowered us to make that happen. What happened for me was that in the middle of doing this thing for God, he gave me an experience that brought clarity to all these other little bits of information that I didn't understand about myself. In one experience, God made it clear to me what it was all for. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 to 7, which is just before one of the spiritual gifts lists that I read out earlier, just before it, It says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. See, it was whilst I was doing something for the common good that this clarity and life-giving experience came. If you're not already interested in that common good, then don't expect that kind of a move of the Holy Spirit. But if you are hungry for clarity from the Holy Spirit about what He is calling you to do or to be, then I want to encourage you this morning, don't just sit there waiting for a divine revelation, but look at what's in your hand and try something. Do something. Get on team and allow God to minister to you through your experience of serving Him, because that's what He does. That's what He does. At the same time, I had had this incredible experience, and then the next day I had to go back to uni, and it became really apparent to me that I didn't know what to do with that experience. I felt very clearly that I needed to continue on the path that I was on. I needed to finish uni, and I wanted to give that job a good red-hot crack, but I had this other experience that was telling me something different, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I felt like maybe I need to just let that experience go. Maybe that experience was just for that day. I need to let it go and just never think about it again. And I think that would have been a mistake. Now, I knew what I needed to continue doing, but as I went forward and as I finished uni and as I started work, I just made sure that I never stopped talking to God about that experience that I'd had. I never stopped talking to Him about it. And we were talking about it for another 3 years before an opportunity came up to step into full-time ministry here at Carey. See, I think what was missing at the time was God's timing. And sometimes God brings everything together, but we still gotta wait on His timing. And then the opportunity came up, and it wasn't a case of God saying, I'm calling you to this thing that you love and you need to make a big sacrifice and come and do ministry. It was just God saying, you can do this if you want to. Here's an opportunity for it to come together. And it wasn't that I hated medicine. It wasn't that it was bad. There are doctors in this room who love their job, and I'm stoked for you. But for me, I spent years just struggling to figure out, how can I use my gifts here for King and community? And I wasn't able to figure it out until this opportunity came to do full-time kids ministry, and I knew this is how I can serve God, and this is how I can serve community with the way that I am. And so here I am. I just want to encourage you that if you ever have an experience that feels significant, but it doesn't fit with the narrative of your life, that doesn't mean you have to drastically drop everything, but I just want to encourage you, don't disregard that experience. Just keep talking to God about it. Keep talking to Him about it. Because through all our experiences, God speaks. Allow Him to continue to speak to you. Oh, how good is water? Through all experiences, God speaks. Well, what about experiences that don't come from God? What about experiences that don't come from Him? See, we know that we are shaped by positive, great, beautiful experiences that feel like they were sent by God to shape us and mold us. But we're also shaped and impacted by things that happen to us that don't feel good, things that are painful, things maybe even that are damaging. Things that are not sent by God, but are the result of either our own mistakes or other people's sin or whatever it may be. We can't deny that we are impacted by these kinds of experiences, and sometimes they leave us feeling broken or damaged, or maybe even leave us feeling like we can't serve King or community at all. What do we do with those experiences? Well, into that space, this verse is often spoken, Romans 8, verse 28. Which says this: and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. That verse, it's all about, it's said in a context of, of future glory. It's all about what Paul says, the day when creation will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. It's a day that's coming down the line. And so what that means is that this promise is not a promise that God is going to sort out your circumstance exactly the way you want it right now. It's a promise for future glory and future freedom. And sometimes that's not as encouraging as we want it to be or as we'd like it to be. But there is hope to be found in it. And I want to share an example of how I discovered that hope in my life. See, when I was a little kid, I had some experiences that ingrained a belief in me that I was hated and that I deserved to be hated. And it meant that every time I failed at something, it just cut way deeper than it should have. Because I wasn't just failing a driving test or failing an exam. I was failing to prove that I didn't deserve to be a hated person. And the culmination of all those little experiences meant that by the time I was about 20, my mental health was not good. It was not good. I was at a point where I just didn't want to do it anymore. I just wanted to die. And I'm so grateful that I had friends who encouraged me to seek professional counseling when I was in that space. Interestingly, they were friends I met through university, right? Sometimes people ask me, oh, do you ever regret that you spent 6 years at uni and now you're not using any of it? And I think, look, if the only reason I was there was to meet those people, to encourage me to do that in that moment, then I'll take it, right? I had friends at the same time from church who reached out to me and convinced me to get reimmersed in Jesus and get reimmersed in church life, to start serving again, even though I didn't feel like I had anything in the tank to give. But I got back on the team and I just started getting amongst it again. I met a great mentor who met up with me weekly and started chipping away at this lie that I was hated. And ultimately, one night at church, I took up this call to be prayed for. It was an offer for prayer, and I came down the front of church, and I was being prayed for. And as I was being prayed for, this image dropped into my mind, clear as anything. And it was this picture. Who is this picture that just clear as anything dropped in my head? And it seems kind of silly, but to me, like, I knew exactly what this meant. I knew that was me. That was me. I felt absolutely like I was sitting at the bottom of this pit that I couldn't climb out of on my own. And I could see Mr. Bump's little hand sticking up. And I knew that was me, right? And Mr. Bump, he couldn't get out of that hole on his own, and there was no one to pull him out. And I knew that there was somebody who was there who was ready and willing to pull me out of that hole. And I lifted my hands, and I felt the Holy Spirit lift me out of that hole and place me on the sand. And I felt the weight and the guilt and the shame of my mistakes wash away, and I felt peace flood my heart. And I'd never felt so light in my life. I knew that my mind and my soul had been healed. And I don't share this story to try to suggest that therapy or medication is a bad thing. You know, medication wasn't indicated for me, but if it was, I would have taken it. When it comes to counseling, I'm so grateful that I did that and that I had a counselor, that I saw a psychologist, because without it, I don't think I would have been able to even ask for prayer in the first place. But that night, in that moment, I got this deep personal experience of what it says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. I want to read you this verse. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." And I felt firsthand that he really is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He absolutely is. But it doesn't stop there, right? That verse ends not with a full stop. It ends with a comma. There's a second half to that sentence, which is verse 4. And I started to discover the truth of verse 4 over the next decade that followed. Verse 4 says, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. See, I've shared that story before. I've shared that story many times, and it's meant something to others. I've shared it, and it's been able to bring glory to my King, to Jesus. I've shared it, and it's been able to bring hope to my community. God has worked it all together for the good of not just me, but all those who love him, all his community and his kingdom. If it was just about working my experience together for my good, then God would have solved my depression before it even started, right? Now, did God give me depression? No. Did he cause the events that would send the things that sparked it or fed it? Absolutely not. But he was with me through every single moment. He was with me in every single experience. And he has used every single moment of it to bring glory to himself, to bring hope to my community, and to bring to me a renewed sense of worth and a deeper and stronger faith and a better relationship with him. He has redeemed it, and he continues to redeem it. I won't lie, I still wrestle with some of this stuff. But every time I do, God continues to redeem it again and again and again for King and community, right? See, through profound, positive, joyful experiences like I had that day working with those crazy kids, God shapes us and he speaks. But through negative, through painful, through even damaging experiences, God is still speaking. God is still speaking, and he is still shaping us. And we can choose to be shaped by our experiences, or we can choose to be shaped by God through our experiences. And the difference is a relationship with Jesus. See, life without Jesus is a life where we are at the mercy of what happens to us. But life with him is a life where the creator of the universe, this all-powerful God, is able to penetrate through all darkness and continue to shape you into the person that you were always meant to be, even in the middle of the most painful or hopeless of situations. God is still sovereign. He is still speaking, and he is still offering to shape us through all of it. And this morning, if you've never made a decision to say yes to that relationship, if you've never started a relationship or stepped into a relationship with Jesus, this is a really perfect moment to do that, to say, I want to live that life where I'm not at the mercy of what happens to me, but Jesus, I want to give you control and I want to follow you. I want to give you the opportunity to just do that, to just say that to God right now. So I'm going to invite all of us to just close our eyes, bow our heads. Let's just have our own little moment with God. And if you in this space, or if you're watching online, or if you're over in the youth room, and you want to step into a relationship with Jesus, and you want to say yes to him and say, I want to follow you, then I'm going to pray for you in this moment. And if I'm praying for you, because that's you and you're making that decision right now, would you just look at me real quick and raise up your hand so I know I'm praying for you? If you're online or in the youth room, then I'm just gonna pray for you either way, because I can't see you. Heavenly Father, right now, I just lift up anybody and everybody who is wanting to step into a relationship with you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your love, and we thank you that you went to the cross for us. Lord, we believe that you died and rose again, and we invite you right now to be our King. Lord, we thank you that with you, we are not at the mercy of what happens to us, but we give you complete control to shape us into who we're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, church. Let's worship.